My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
95-7 The Game's John Dickinson has been with the Warriors every day throughout the championship era.
Half court, the Warriors start to celebrate. The one-time darlings are now a dynasty.
And now, he brings you the latest scoops on the back-to-back champs.
He's looking good to go.
And exclusive player interviews.
What's up, Dub Nation? It's your boy, Stephen Curry.
This is Warriors Weekly. On the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, John Dickinson.
And welcome in Warriors Weekly Podcast for 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson joined from the road. That's right, from Toronto. The NBA Finals outside of the United States for the first time. And Sam Amick of The Athletic, the great Sam Amick, joins me for this podcast. Sam, really appreciate the time, and this is kind of cool being up here the last couple of days.
It is, brother. Certainly, thank you for having me, as always. It's been a little while. But, JD, with all due respect to the fine people of Cleveland, whose city we enjoyed for the last 4 years, I would be lying to you if I didn't also admit that it is, I mean, the energy in Toronto is cool. The history that comes with there having never been a finals game outside of America is neat. And these fans and these people in general, I mean, they're jazzed, they're fired up, and it's going to be a good time.
And it really is interesting because you look at, you know, I'm used to, and you're used to, and we're all used to the Warriors having the home court advantage, and this series starting in Oakland the last 4 years, it does bring a little different vibe, at least through Sunday. Now, if the Warriors wind up winning the game one, and then maybe Toronto's in a spot where they're tight, and you know it could maybe go the other way fast, but at least for the full weekend, there's going to be a belief among the folks up here and among the folks associated with the Raptors, players, coaches included, that they can win this series.
Right. No, for sure. Even, honestly, like anecdotally for you and I, having been on this path with them for so many years now, I mean, when it's on the other side, you know, I have regular real life stuff going on leading up to media day. I'm figuring out, you know, saying goodbye to the kids in the morning, driving down to media day. This is a whole different ball of wax. I mean, for the Warriors' purposes, certainly feels like you are in, quote-unquote, enemy territory. You know what I mean? You are starting on the opposing team's floor. And this is a Raptors team that, you know, I mean, I don't know what my hard, firm prediction is. We'll get into that later. But I think they're going to give them a go. It's a really good squad.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. We were talking about setting up doing this a couple of weeks ago. And I think when I originally said, hey, let's do something for the finals, the Eastern Finals were 2-0 Milwaukee at that point. And I know you had been around the Bucks during the regular season, and a fascinating story they are. But the Raptors, equally so, especially when you look at everything going on with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is playing just spectacular. He's playing through injury, clearly, although the time off helps him with that, certainly. But, I mean, there are a lot of fascinating storylines.
They didn't get that much time off.
No, they got 5 days.
Yeah,
well, what will amount to 5 days? It hasn't been 5 days yet. What day is this?
Not nine, like your squad.
Nine for the second time in 3 years. Think about that, figuring out what the heck you're going to do. We'll get to the Warriors side of it in a minute, because I thought they were incredibly loose today. Klay Thompson, loose and light as always. Draymond Green, just... Draymond is, like... He's just in a different place. I mean, he's laughing and smiling and saying what's on his mind again, which I think was something he kind of got away from a little bit the last couple of years. Not to divert that way, or maybe we will divert that way and come back to Kawhi either way, but the Warriors really struck me today as loving life and enjoying this whole process of maybe being on the road initially in a series and having it be a different. I mean, they're walking by all of us as we're, you know, there in the press conference and headed out on the floor, and they're laughing, smiling. You had, you know, Kyle Lowry speaking of Draymond Green as Draymond Green was walking by to head toward the locker room, and there was both kind of a smile and a nod between the two. Literally, the question had just been asked about Kawhi and Draymond and their defensive prowess, and you know, Kyle Lowry's answer to that question as Draymond's walking by, and Draymond kind of smiles, and Kyle Lowry, I don't know if he changed his answer, but he certainly acknowledged, you know, the fact that Draymond was there, kind of with a nod. There's a lot of fun storylines in this one.
No, I'm with you. I mean, your Draymond observations, I would agree with. He's in a very good place, living his best life. Seems to, I mean, he'll talk about his significant other, you know, the lady in his life who has, you know, certainly had a positive impact by all appearances, being a father, you know, the relationship with his mom. I talked to his mother the night that they beat the Blazers, Portland, in the conference finals, about all the text messages that she'd been sending him to tell him to, you know, stop messing with the refs and just where he's at. And she agreed, like, kind of like you said, that he's in a really good place. He's focusing on the game, trying to be as mature as possible. And it was loose today. It's funny because I'm a sucker for, I don't like doing the press conference setting all that much because I don't have to. I have a different type of role. And I'm always looking for more of like the connecting conversation. So I look over at one of the podiums, And a somewhat lonely-looking Kevon Looney was over there with a very small crowd, and I had a chance to go talk to Kevon. Now, a different Warriors character, but same exact mood that you're talking about. Very light, in a great place. We actually had a fun little chat about the impact he had against Houston in the second round and how Mike D'Antoni, upon reflecting on that series, had been raving about Kevon and the job that he did. But they're in a good place. But again, it's a really good Raptors team. And basketball-wise, you know, I don't know how you see it. I think this thing is going to be pretty tight.
Yeah, it should be pretty tight. I'm interested in, you know, anytime there's a series like this, it's who's playable and who's not playable. And I think the Raptors have as many playables, at least coming into this thing, as really I think anybody has the last few years during this Warriors run, at least initially. And you never know, you know, is Kyle Lowry going to be able to make shots? Is Van Vliet going to be able to make shots? Will Danny Green make a shot after basically not making one for the entire Eastern Finals?
I think the Warriors are low-key like a little bit afraid of Danny Green right now. Like, they feel like, for one, he might wake up for the sole purpose of jamming them up because he has history against the Warriors.
And Danny Green's the kind of guy that, I mean, he might be 3 for 30, and then he might be 20 for 30.
I covered the finals where he was breaking finals records, you know, as a member of the Spurs against Miami, hitting threes. He can't do it. He just hasn't played well of late. They do, like you said, John, they have players who we are going to find out if they can play. So Pascal Siakam, I think, is a really good matchup against Draymond. That is going to be a fun one. But then you get into the Marc Gasols. Mark has been a wonderful addition to this Raptors team on both ends of the floor.
I'll say this, though. Watching him, I wonder, against the Warriors, can he play?
That's the thing. And if you can play Mark off the floor, huge edge in the Warriors' side of things. You know, that is the big one, and that's been getting analyzed on the Eastern side of things through the Philly series, through the Milwaukee series. You know, Brook Lopez made life easy on Marc Gasol. You know what I mean? He just didn't match up in the way that the Warriors will. And that's the idea. I mean, the more they play Draymond at the five, the better, I think, to be honest. You know, we'll see how much time DeMarcus gets out there. You know, that's another whole conversation that seems a tiny bit uncomfortable. You know, it's just a tough time to reintegrate a guy like that coming off an injury like he had. So, you know, those are all the different subplots here.
Sam Amick joining me, Warriors Weekly Podcast for 95.7 The Game, NBA Finals Edition from Toronto. Man, we talk about one thing and two other things pop up that I want to get into. We will get back to Kawhi, and I know we want to, you know, I don't want to keep you too long here, but the two injury notes for the Warriors on their side of things, Durant out for Game 1, obviously, it's pretty iffy for game two. I mean, he hasn't been on the court yet, but the interesting thing that Steve Kerr said today is, well, he's got to get back court work, which is probably a few days minimum. Then he's got to practice. And my takeaway, and I'm interested to get your takeaway, my takeaway when he, and we got to get him on the practice floor, Steve Kerr saying, and it seems like Steve is concerned with the momentum that has been built up with this group without him. And I take it a step farther. I mean, he was extremely noncommittal, and granted, Cousins is still injured. But, I mean, my read on that was he really doesn't want to drop Cousins right into the middle of the finals.
Well, that guy that I mentioned earlier, Mr. Looney, has done a really nice job. And, you know, this is the time of year where the if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality more, you know, more often than not would rule the day.
And even with a guy like Kevin Durant, as crazy as that sounds, and look, I mean, the Warriors, if Durant's healthy, they'll play Durant. It might be a matter of get him one practice.
Not to mention that, no offense to DeMarcus, but Kevin is the priority in free agency. You can't be insulting Kevin Durant right now.
It's two different scenarios completely, but I thought the similar answers were interesting because it was almost as if Steve was saying, hey, if Kevin Durant needs a practice, DeMarcus don't, like, you might not be playing.
The thing Steve couldn't say, and I'm always reticent to, I'm never going to try to speak for another person, but I think, you know, hypothetically speaking, if you could tell Steve Kerr, you know, hey, you can make a deal with the devil, and I guarantee you the championship again, and in the process, you're going to tick off Kevin Durant and probably lose him, and you're going to tick off DeMarcus Cousins and probably lose him, he might take it. You know what I mean? Like, teams in general, not just Steve, everybody in the NBA, you do not take championships lightly, which is maybe a decent segue to the Kawhi conversation, right? Because he's a free agent. And I, you know, I do firmly believe that he might win the whole thing if they could, you know, pull the upset, beat the Warriors, and then still walk away. And I don't think the Raptors would have an ounce of regret for the decision they made to trade for him, even if they couldn't bring him back, because a championship, again, is that valuable. And I think you do have to do whatever it takes at all costs to get that.
And Kawhi's a remarkable case because, I mean, we talk about reading the room and, you know, what does this mean? And you're right, you don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but just, I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a freaking robot. I mean, that's my takeaway. I mean, he is just on the court. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's very relaxed in the press conference setting and not uncomfortable at all, but also just extremely just robotic and straight and deadpan. And, I mean, everything that we've known Kawhi Leonard to be, clearly he's more than that, and his teammates will tell you that he's, you know, he's got a personality. And, I mean, Pascal Siakam spent 2 minutes trying to darn it, he's got a personality. He's normal. Trying to explain how normal he was, which was kind of, that was one of the funnier parts of the press conference. But yeah, Kawhi, I mean, where do you think he's at health-wise? Where do you think he's at as far as just his lot with the Raptors? And where is he at in terms of, would he be the guy in your mind that could win a championship and leave?
Yes, 100%. In fact, I'm going to, when we're done having our fun chat here, I'm going to later today write a column talking about Kawhi and that idea. The Clippers still feel behind the scenes very confident about their chances. That, I just, like, let me repeat that. Like, the Clippers, first of all teams, still feel fairly confident behind the scenes, despite the fact that the guy they want to get is in the NBA Finals, is having the kinds of moments with his current team that are literally compelling artists in the city of Toronto to put pictures of him on the side of brick buildings, yet they still feel fairly confident behind the scenes. That's incredible to me, and it does speak to a couple things. For one, Kawhi, his personality, and the fact that if he truly does want to just play in his home city of L.A., he, you know, grew up in Moreno Valley outside of L.A., then there's nothing you can do to change that. And even from a very relatable human standpoint, this is gonna kind of a funny, you know, side note. The flight I took out yesterday, now granted, Kawhi Leonard will never again in his life be flying, you know, in a middle seat on United like I did. Different quality of travel.
A little different.
But nonetheless, like, I go Sacramento to Chicago to Toronto, and by the end of the day, I'm like, man, Toronto is a long-ass way away. Like, it's just...
Yes, it is.
It's a long ways away, pardon the French. But Kawhi, you know, I do think he could very, very, very possibly be willing to walk away. And I also think another factor that should and could probably scare the Raptors is that Kawhi quietly has like as much confidence in himself as anybody in the NBA. And I've seen it throughout the course of his career. And the reason I think that could hurt the Raptors is that I think any guy who's insecure at all, who might just look at like, man, this Raptors thing is really good and I'm going to regret walking away from it. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
He doesn't have that is what you're saying.
He's like, I'll bring my thing to the Clippers and we'll do it there too because that's how good I am. I mean, I've told this story recently. I always remember Kawhi, a couple years into the league, was doing his thing on the defensive end, was scoring maybe 14, 15 points a game, and he plays at the Garden one night, and the New York media wanted to talk to him about, do you think you could ever score the ball consistently like a Carmelo Anthony? And at the time, Melo was still Melo in the New York chapter.
He could score, and maybe not as much else, but he could score.
He could definitely score, and Kawhi just looked at everybody, thought they were crazy, and he's like, yeah, I could do that. And people kind of mocked him at the time, you know. And I remember thinking back then, like, I mean, I thought it was a stretch. But it was something interesting about this guy who had this belief in himself to be that kind of a player. Now he's that and so much more. And I think that belief, you know, might possibly be what compels him to relocate again.
And I mentioned this to you earlier in the day when we were over at the arena. And it's something that I've talked about on the Warriors This Week show with Matt Steinmetz. The fascinating component to what if Kawhi Leonard wins a title with the Spurs, which he's already done, wins one with the Raptors, and then maybe goes and he's a headliner somewhere else. I mean, nobody's ever, we were going back in our mind, like, who's won three ever? I mean, that you talk about different challenges, and obviously the Raptors aren't the favorite in this series, but, I mean, that doesn't happen. You've got, no. I mean, Shaq, Kareem, I mean, you're in that ilk.
LeBron obviously did too, you know, but he stopped at two so far anyway, and looks like most likely it'll end at two. I mean, that would be a very unique legacy, and that is, I mean, listen, this is something else I'm going to write about. Like, Doc Rivers, of all people, Clippers coach, just so happened to be on ESPN today, which I just thought, or maybe last night, whenever it was. And, it, you know, and Doc, as great as he is in a press conference setting, Doc does not do analyst work anymore. So the timing of that, yes, I'm being a cynic. I don't think it's a mistake. The Clippers are very smart. They're getting the voice out here right now. But Doc mentions on his appearance that Kawhi Leonard is the closest that we've had in this league to Michael Jordan. And it's like, well, interesting. Oh, by the way, Kawhi also loved Michael Jordan growing up. You know, way to kind of strike that chord. But he is. I mean, that's the path he's on if he keeps doing this thing. I mean, the conversation... Well, I'm digressing even more again, JD, but like the conversation in this league right now about greatest player of them all is a great one because there's a lot of names in that list, and it's a good debate. Kawhi's in there, KD, Giannis, LeBron certainly at his kind of elderly state, but Kawhi is incredible on both ends.
We'll go rapid fire here on a couple with you. If Kevin Durant doesn't play a game in the NBA Finals, How does this series shake out in your mind?
I mean, listen, rapid fire, speed it up, Sammy. I'm going to say Warriors in seven. And my guy, Marcus Thompson, friend and colleague at The Athletic, gave me a hard time about the idea that I would make the Warriors fans suffer through a loss in game six at the last game at Oracle. And I said, no, I'll fix that. So they'll be down 3-2, and then they'll have to win the last two. But, you know, I think it'll be competitive, and I think they can beat the Raptors without Kevin. I've written that they need Kevin. I'm almost going against what I've written, but there are mitigating factors on the Raptors side, and you know, and we'll see. I mean, maybe not. Maybe Kawhi will average 40, and they'll be hurting big time without KD.
What do you think what's your read on Durant, I mean, at this point? I mean, obviously nobody knows. He's got to get back on the court. He's got to go through a practice, as Steve Kerr mentioned today. But, I mean, the timeline, once you get past Sunday, it gets a little tighter. I mean, it's Wednesday, Friday. You know, you don't have the extra day. I mean, what do you think the most likely scenario is there?
I mean, it just right now it feels like it's a ways off. And then you get into, like, how is the series going? And that is a pretty fascinating discussion. Just about how, okay, if they're down, you know, 2-0, if they drop these two games in Toronto, then he can maybe save the day. So maybe there's incentive. I mean, listen, first of all, Kevin Steve Kerr, the rest of them, they would probably laugh at this segment and say, no, it's pretty simple. Like, when he's healthy, he will play. And that probably is the God's honest truth. But nonetheless, the scenarios for, in terms of the narrative are interesting. Is he going to be in a position to save the day? Is he going to be in a position to maybe, quote-unquote, mess it up? I'm not saying that's what he would be doing, but like that's what people will talk about if the adjustment doesn't go well.
No doubt. I mean, if it's 1-1 and they go home and lose Game 3 and he comes back in Game 3, or they're up 2-1 and he comes back in Game 4, and they, I mean, all of those scenarios are on the table.
It's on the doorstep of free agency. That's what's crazy. I mean, we're a couple weeks away. And this stuff is going to be, is going to really define how we talk about, you know, this part of his Warriors tenure and maybe the end if he ends up leaving. So we'll see.
And final one for you here as we wrap it up, Warriors Weekly Podcast, 95.7 The Game. We touched on it a little bit. Do you think the Warriors will have a DeMarcus Cousins issue in this series with him wanting to play and maybe them holding him out? That was one of my general takeaways today. I didn't think it would be an issue coming out of today. It's something I definitely would want to keep an eye on, because it sounds like he is ready and wants to contribute, and Steve Kerr was pumping the brakes a little bit.
I'm going to steal a term from Jerry Colangelo, longtime, you know, NBA lifer, but also Team USA architect, who constantly talks about players who have, you know, capital in the program, investment in the program. The truth is, in the bigger scope of the Warriors story, DeMarcus doesn't, to me, have the kind of capital in the program that would compel Steve Kerr to do him any quote-unquote favors.
Hey, if you're mad about it and you want to leave, you're probably leaving anyway.
Right. And Steve, again, I go back to the beginning. I already struck the same chord and used the same tone talking about Kevin Durant, of all people. Like that idea that Steve would pick the championship over everything else. I think that certainly applies to the DeMarcus situation, too. He's going to do what is best for the team and then deal with whatever consequences there are.
The great Sam Amick of The Athletic. Check out all his stuff. Sam, really appreciate the time. I'm going to let you go right as long as you don't fall asleep first.
Maybe a little short nap to get the synapses, you know, refreshed, but we'll get there.
Brief nap. Sam, always a pleasure, my man. Really appreciate it.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.